We've just come back from the long parliamentary recess, and I've been using the break to give some thought to the role that my party should be playing in the British political system. I think we all know that the country is politically divided, bitterly divided, over Brexit and the politics of the two main parties. Leaves millions of voters, broadly those who I would categorise as in the middle ground, totally ignored while they get on with their private civil wars. And very little attention is currently being paid to the really big long-term issues that matter. Climate change, ageing, how we utilise new technologies, stagnant productivity, to mention a few. Now, to be sure, this political malaise isn't simply unique to the UK. Ever since the global financial crisis, frustration over the failure of market economies to deliver rising living standards and a sense of unfairness has fed the politics of extremism. And parties in the liberal and social democratic traditions, that's where we are. Parties in this tradition have struggled, and not just in the UK. Now, I would say that liberal democracy is itself under a great deal of threat, notably in the United States and Eastern Europe, but perhaps here too, because authoritarians and extremists of both right and left are on the march, and they're now coordinating their tactics and their propaganda internationally, what I would call an illiberal international. Now, the problem isn't obviously the same everywhere. There are some countries, and France, Canada, Ireland stand out, where there are some encouraging countercurrents, and I think we need to learn from them. But in Britain, there is this additional problem of a first-past-the-post voting system which entrenches the position of two established parties. And I think we could concede that it worked after a fashion when politicians were aiming for the common middle ground. But when, as now, the parties are driven by their party fringes, politics is becoming dangerously polarised. And when democracy can't deliver, the frustration opens up a space for various forms of ugly populism. And we've seen this summer, it's offered as verbal attacks on Muslims and Jews, and wall-to-wall Brexit, that's it. And it's a worrying picture. And as the leader of the Liberal Democrats, I've naturally asked myself how I and my party can protect and develop liberal democracy in Britain at a time when it's in grave danger. And I'm tempted to say the gravest since the 1930s. And I see two big steps that we need to take. First of all, I want to bring values back into our politics to provide a rallying point for those who are committed to defend liberal democracy, who want to challenge the extremes of inequality and barriers to opportunity, who are committed to upholding our civil liberties, and who are determined to maintain an open, outward-looking country, and also to protect our environment. Now, my colleagues and I have sought over the last year to show how we can put these values into action, and I think set out some new ideas in relation to the economy and tax policy, the housing crisis, schooling, lifelong learning, the new data technologies, the governance of companies, and a lot else. And it's reassuring to know that these instincts, these liberal instincts, are shared not by a few, but by many. And in fact, recent research tends to show that 40% of voters share the essential values of the Liberal Democrats. But second and crucial to making these things happen is I want to work with our party, its governing board, its membership, to transform the way that we work so that we engage more actively with the millions of voters who currently share our values but feel disenfranchised. Now, we start from a low base. We've had disappointing elections in 2015 and 2017. And these in turn stem from the political damage that was done during the coalition years, which undoubtedly were good for the country, but they were bad for our party. And also from the relentless squeeze on third parties in the current first-past-the-post system. But undaunted, we have battled on. And in the year since I took over the leadership, we've made impressive strides to restore our position in local government. We had the best results for 15 years, and better ones are anticipated next year. And I would add that despite the limited opportunities offered in Parliament and in the conventional media, we are registering some improvements in our overall rating, and I'm confident that if we continue on the present trajectory, we will make definite progress in terms of the numbers of seats. But I came into the leadership just over a year ago with big ambitions for the party. And I want us to do better than steady as she goes, slow growth. And given the unhappy state of the country's politics, it would be unforgivable, I think, simply to sit tight and hope for gradual improvement. And that requires us, I think, to remake ourselves in the public mind. We've got to realise the party's ambition to build our core support by opening our arms to the huge swathe of the electorate which shares our values. I mean, in short, we've got to invite people in. And I see our party as a vehicle for giving voters real influence every day as part of a new movement. And let me explain more concretely what I mean by that. We've got to make it easier for people to get on board. And one example we can look at productively is that of the Canadian Liberals, who rose from being a distant third party to becoming the party of government, and they did it in one leap. And they had the outdated first-past-the-post system, as we do here, and the party engineered a massive increase in their public recognition and participation by turning themselves into a broadly based movement, which then became the basis for general election campaigning. Now, of course, you know, Canada isn't Britain, and although their system is closer to ours than, say, you know, Macron's France, we can't simply adopt a copy and paste approach. But what I'm setting out today is a starting point for this endeavour, and one in which every Liberal Democrat will have a say. I see essentially three specific steps to transforming the party. And the first is to widen membership with a new class of supporters who pay nothing, but who sign up to the party's values. And they would enjoy a range of entitlements, including the right to vote in leadership and to shape the party's campaigning online. Now, the Liberal Democrats already have an army of volunteer helpers and deliverers. We have 200,000 online supporters also, and these are over and above the 100,000 membership. Now, we're a substantial organisation. And these are people who identify with us and campaign with us, but the supporters currently have no say. Now, we're already consulting with our members on opening up a supporter scheme starting at conference next weekend. And I recognise that these are necessarily tricky issues because we've got to balance the entitlements of supporters and members. And like many leaders before me, I'm going to be asking the party structures to move further and faster than their natural pace. and there will be a dialogue about how to make such a scheme work. But whatever rights our new supporters gain, we as a party aim to be in constant conversation with them, engaging them in our campaigns and urging them to begin campaigns of their own. We've seen groups like More United and 38 Degrees and Navas and Change.org, and they've shown us how these regular conversations can happen and how you can engage hundreds of people online. And what I want is for our party to do that and also to offer a political arm within Parliament. So it's not just a protest group on the outside banging at the door, it's a mass movement with a voice on the inside in our parliamentary party. Now, Liberals pioneered this model at a local level with community politics in the latter half of the 20th century. And now what I want to do is to see how we can use the power of technology to pioneer it online in the national political system. Now, I appreciate we're not the first party to have sought to adapt in this way. The Five Star Movement, which is now in government in Italy, started like this. And the Labour Party's Momentum Movement, you know, we have to accept it's been highly successful in mobilising and engaging young people. Now, the way in which the revolutionary left hijacked the Labour Party and used momentum for its own purposes is a salutary warning, but it isn't mass movements which cause extremism. Now, even the Tories are being taken over by extremists, even within their narrow, exclusive membership. And of course, we've got to be careful. And we can't be afraid of opening windows lest a few flies get in. In any case, you know, the Liberal Democrats are different. We're not a socialist party, which is concerned with extreme left entryism. And we're not a right-wing party trying to keep extreme right-wingers out. We're a centre ground, pro-European, liberal and social democratic party, which is welcoming like-minded supporters. So we're talking about a movement for moderates. Now the second suggestion, specific suggestion, and in the same spirit, is that the party should be more open to new members or converts from other parties playing an active role as candidates. At present, we have a delay of up to 12 months before a new member can apply to become a parliamentary candidate. And this leaves people frustrated at the very moment of their greatest political enthusiasm. We erect an arbitrary barrier to their progress. We think that if they're good enough and if they can get approved, they should be able to stand for Parliament on a Lib Dem ticket and do so without delay. In addition, there are over 9,000 council seats to contend next year, and I want to make it easy for those who share our values to stand as candidates at that level as well. The third step is to open up the party leadership to a wider field than MPs, allowing party members to put themselves forward. There would, of course, have to be an approval and shortlisting process run by the party to make sure that anybody putting themselves forward shares the essential values of the party and has the political capability for the job. Now, I'm lucky to have an excellent parliamentary party, colleagues and friends, who any one of them, I would stress, have the ability to lead the party in future. And I don't think any of them have anything to fear from a big open field in which to compete. Now, the truth is that there are many talented people with proven leadership abilities in the professions, the armed forces, voluntary sector, business, who share our values but have not pursued a parliamentary career. I've served in Parliament for 2 decades. I've been a candidate 10 times. I've been a winner 5 times. And I'm proud to represent my constituents. But I understand, you know, that there are many others who are deterred from following suit. And the present Parliament, where large numbers of MPs, perhaps a majority, are voting on Brexit against their own judgment, and their own assessment of the national interests, well, that's not exactly, you know, a great advertisement. I mean, the fact is that our current parliamentary system is severely damaged, if not actually broken, and a forward-looking party has to look outside as well as inside. So my intention, therefore, is to ensure that the next leader is chosen from the widest possible pool of talent and to put him or her at the helm of a far bigger, more open movement than any previous leader has been. Now, I do recognise the practical difficulties of resourcing a leader from outside the Commons and having somebody who is not based on the doorstep of the Westminster media. But I don't think that we should let, you know, operational problems and long-held constitutional conventions constrain our thinking or our choices. Instead, I want to work with the party through the coming consultation to ensure we have solutions to the problems that people raise. I think we also have to engage in party realignment. I think we have to recognise that despite our best efforts, the Liberal Democrats may not be the only centre force in British politics. I think it's the worst kept secret in Westminster that political disquiet in the two major parties is provoking some people to consider the formation of a new party of the centre ground, or indeed several. And I think this requires us to demand better than the usual tribalism, whether it's our own or others. And I think the biggest challenge will arise if a significant number of Labour or Conservative MPs leave or are forced out of their parties, as it could well happen. And it's patently clear from the open contempt which is shown for many Labour MPs by Jeremy Corbyn's hard left that such a schism is likely. And some Conservatives have been in a similar position. And meanwhile, there is a smattering of business people around talking in hushed tones about a new party. Now, I mean, I've met with quite a few of these people. And I make the case that it's much easier in our electoral system to work within existing party structures and with people who have shared values rather than to try to compete. And as the adage has it, you know, we hang together or we hang separately. And indeed, there is a danger of becoming a bit like that scene in Monty Python's Life of Brian, where the Judean people's front refuses to work with the People's Front of Judea for the pettiest of reasons. But actually, you know, this isn't a Monty Python sketch. We're talking about the future of the country here. And I think history will not forgive anybody whose vanity and self-importance causes them to turn away the hand of friendship. And that means that we and the Liberal Democrats are opening to working together with those in other parties or none who share our values. But by opening up our party, I hope to convince those who agitate for a new force that there's already a strong movement for open centrist internationalist politics, and it's the Liberal Democrats. So my invitation is for them to join us in a party where we're ready to work with people of similar values, even where we don't agree on everything. Join us in a force which already has a strong foothold in the first-past-the-post system, a nationwide organisation, and an army of hundreds of thousands of foot soldiers mobilised against Brexit. And by drawing in a broad range of supporters, encouraging new voices to stand for political office, and reimagining the leadership of our party, the Liberal Democrats can become a voice for millions of British voters working together in a positive political movement. Now, to conclude, I'm determined to lead the Liberal Democrats through this, turning us into a genuinely remade new force. And it, in practice, from the fourth party in the House of Commons to the first party in the minds of the country, and a contender once again for government. But in calling for such a change in political thinking, I'm aware that the question will be asked as to whether this is my own last hurrah. And I think I've already made it very clear, I don't want to emulate Gladstone, who kept going till his mid-80s, nor do I want to outlast Robert Mugabe. So that I still have four very clear objectives which I am determined to see through. I want to ensure that we remain the leading voice against Brexit, demanding a people's vote, and winning that argument. I want then to ready the party for any general election which emerges out of the Brexit chaos and lead us through it. I want to lead it to further local election success next May, rebuilding the local government base on which both our community politics and our parliamentary advances are based. And crucial to the others, I want to begin the process of transforming the Liberal Democrats from an old-style political party into a new open movement. So what this means is that reports that I've read of my imminent departure are very wide of the mark. And now is certainly not the time for an internal election, because there's serious work for me and the party to do. So to that end, once Brexit is resolved or stopped, we don't know when that will be, and if the new rules are agreed, that will be the time to conduct a leadership election under the new rules. So I invite all those who believe in a big centre-ground Liberal movement to join us, because you could be the leaders of tomorrow. Whoever is chosen in future will lead not a small party, but a big movement. And the Liberal Democrats will offer a force for good. It'll be a movement for moderates, battling against Brexit, standing up for fairness and opportunity against power and privilege in our country. So I invite all the millions of Liberal centre-ground voters out there who share these values, who want to change our politics, to sign up on our website today so that we can fight for these Liberal values together. And this is a battle we've got to wage for the good of the country. And I'm determined that we'll win it.